Is it curtains for open government? Yeah, by May. Data.gov, the IT dashboard, paymentaccuracy.gov. Four other signature administration open government priorities could go dark. The Office of Management and Budget is running out of money under the e-government fund. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us with exclusive details on what sites could be going dark, when, and why. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Amy.
So we've talked a lot about what could happen if the money runs out. You found out new details. What's OMB planning here?
Well, government sources have told me that OMB has determined that May 31st is the shutdown date for six sites and one specific initiative. Data.gov, the IT dashboard, the FedRAMP cloud computing cybersecurity efforts, performance.gov, paymentaccuracy.gov, the FedSpace initiative, as well as verified payments, the site for contractors and grantees. The government official said two other sites, usaspending.gov, and the apps.gov/now portal. I want to be clear, it's not the apps.gov portal, but it's the specific part of it, apps.gov/now, N-O-W, that will go dark on July 30th. Overall, the funding begins to run out on April 20th. So we're only talking about 19 days from now when the agencies start going, okay, and the OMB and the General Services Administration say, what do we do now? The reason for this two-month shutdown goes back to something that we've covered quite a bit over the last week or so. The House cut about $32 million from the e-government fund. They took it down to about $2 million, and that's a lot different than what OMB received in 2010. They received about $35 million. The government source tells me that under the rules of how agencies work under the continuing resolution, an agency, in this case OMB, can only spend what it could reasonably expect to get. Now, since the administration is only reasonably expecting to get a couple million dollars, they have to stay on course to only spend a couple million dollars. They can't say, well, we got $34 million last year. We can spend under 2010 levels in 2011 because we're under a continuing resolution. But if they spend it at that rate, they're going to be in violation of the Anti-Deficiency Act. And, well, that's even worse than having to shut down these sites. Now, the official also tells me that the administration has already spent $1.6 million last fall to update the usaspending.gov site because they had to meet some of the law's requirements. This law, FFATA, the Federal Financial Accountability and Transparency Act, to put subcontracting data on the site. So this leaves the e-gov fund about $370,000 over the last 6 months of the year. And the source tells me OMB needs at least $4 million just to keep usaspending.gov up and running.
So what would happen then if these sites had to be turned off because they are just out of money?
Well, the sites and obviously the information all could potentially go away, or at least they'd be much harder to find on the separate agency websites. Wednesday, Francis Rose talked to Daniel Schumann of the Sunlight Foundation, who really was pushing for – they really got behind this issue first and foremost. Now, Daniel Schumann says citizens and companies would have to have been using the data for different tools – whether it's the Consumer Product Safety Commission's app to find products that have been recalled, or the app that shows airline flights and whether they're on time or not, all that data would be harder to get. I also spoke with Tim Young, a former deputy CIO of the government and now a director at Deloitte Consulting. He says the problem isn't when the sites get turned off, but when OMB eventually turns the site back on.
How it can be restored in the future, given that much of this data, particularly on data.gov and USA Spending, is time-bound. It's a temporary snapshot. So if you go to turn off the system, you archive the data. When you want to restore that data, it will be time-consuming, and I would expect an expensive process to restore that data to the appropriate context for the stakeholders of those websites.
Now, Young said because so much, if not all, of this data really falls under the records retention policy of the government, it will live somewhere. It's not going to go away. But at the same time, when you do bring it back up, that cost is going to be pretty high. I also spoke with Fred Corley, a senior director for strategic marketing at KGS Inc. This is a company that helps with agencies with data quality issues. He says if the site goes dark now, it would really stunt their development.
There have been many criticisms about the quality of the data that has been published. So at this stage of the effort, 2 years into the administration, what's happening is if you terminate these sites, the ability to improve the quality of the information that's being published and the insight into government contracting and information that vendors are seeking through these sites will be completely eliminated. So not only will you stop what the direction that's going on, but won't have an opportunity to enhance and improve the information that is being published.
Now, Quirley adds that the USAspending.gov goes dark. That site really which lists all the contracting actions and now lists the subcontractor and grantee information. It would really have the biggest impact on industry. Now, Deloitte's Young says that he looks at the IT dashboard as a key. If that goes dark, that will have a big impact as well. He says, you know, many of the dashboards, because of the dashboard bringing the accountability to IT spending, $80 billion of IT spending, there would actually be less public accountability if the IT dashboard would go away.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Are there any alternative plans for financing these websites that might be available to the OMB?
And there are several that OMB could take. Now, whether they will take them, it's hard to say. The government source tells me that they're considering at least one, the old Pass the Hat initiative. Tom, Amy, we've talked a little bit about this. Nobody likes when you pass the hat. But there are challenges in doing that, including congressional approval. I also caught up with Dan Chenock, a former OMB official and now a senior fellow at the IBM Center for the Business of Government, and he described some other ways historically OMB has been able to fund these cross-agency initiatives.
There have been other manners and methods to use fund interagency activities like this. Interagency transfers under the Economy Act, working capital funds, carryover support from multi-year funding pots for technology that relate to the purpose of the program at issue. So there are additional vehicles that can be used, but again, they'd have to take some time. The administration would want to be working with Congress and with the multiple stakeholders on them, and I'm sure that those are being considered as well.
Now, Deloitte Young says how OMB acts, should these sites go dark, will be most interesting.
I think what would be telling is to see if, in fact, these cuts endure, if there is any attempt to fund them through alternative funding sources, such as interagency councils like the CIO and CFO council. They have their own budgets that could potentially be redirected to offset these cuts if any agencies are willing to sponsor these websites and initiatives going forward, at least in the short term between when the cut occurs and when potentially the funding is restored.
So, Jason, tell us what's being done now then to educate lawmakers about why it is important to keep these open government sites running. I mean, that's the position some are taking.
Definitely some are taken. Publicly, not a lot is happening. Obviously, the Sunlight Foundation is leading an effort to alert lawmakers. They wrote a letter to House and Senate leaders, as well as Appropriations Committee chairman and ranking members. And I've heard from other associations, even people in government, that there's a little bit of a mixed reaction here. Some in the vendor community don't want to push for something that's, you know, $34 million is not a lot of money. In many ways, the vendors have, a bigger fish to fry with contracts that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And from the government side, I'm hearing their hands are tied, too, because the White House is really controlling all the budget negotiations, and they really don't want to promote one priority over another. I asked Tim Young why, after 10 years, is e-government still such a big problem?
One of the reasons that there have been challenges in getting the eGov fund fully appropriated relative to the authorization has been the void of a tangible political constituency for the various initiatives, websites, and programs that are funded through the eGov fund. Without that political constituency, I believe some in Congress believe that it's a nice-to-have but an unnecessary fund. Additionally, the benefits of the eGov fund are realized government-wide as opposed to specific to a given program or agency. And based on that, some may argue that they're diluted benefits as compared to a separate program that's funded directly, and the results are more concentrated.
So basically what he was saying that, yes, the problem is that the way Congress is set up, the House, the Senate, when they appropriate money, they appropriate based on specific agencies, specific programs. Because the eGov fund cuts across several different agencies and it's government-wide, nobody can really, if you will, on Capitol Hill, take credit for it. It's the old, well, this doesn't help me with my constituents. And there isn't a set of real constituents that people can actually see. If you talk about education, you talk about kids and families, if you talk about homelessness, you can talk about people who are homeless, and you have advocates for them, but they're not necessarily advocates for e-government. Regulations.gov does not necessarily have an advocate, or HR services, you know, for back-end HR services, they don't really have a specific advocate that can go to the Hill. Now, Young says there are inconsistencies around funding, and then ultimately that's going to cost the government more money. So the Congress is trying to save $32 million. In the end, it could cost them, and Tim Young didn't give me a number, but, you know, $50 million, $100 million, because when you turn the sites off, bring them back on, it slows down the schedule to push them out. In the end, all of this is about efficiency and effectiveness, and if you take the money away from creating that efficiency and effectiveness, well, it's, in the end, it's going to cost you more in the long run. Now, OMB is getting some support from Democrats specifically on Capitol Hill. Senator Joseph Lieberman, who authored the legislation that created the eGov Fund, and Congressman Jose Soriano, the ranking member of the Appropriations Subcommittee on Financial Services and General Government, where the eGov Fund falls under, both say the cuts to this eGov Fund are foolish and short-sighted. So at least there is some people coming together to try to make to stop the changes.
All right, Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, thanks so much for bringing us up to speed on that. And this, of course, is our lead story on our website, federalnewsradio.com.